Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We are awaiting Trump's press conference today at 4:30 p.m., and the DNC is bracing for protests next week by 150-plus groups. That's right, 150-plus groups. It's going to be a lot of fun in Chicago, I'll tell you what. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Sign me up. Oh, baby. Oh, ugh. Ugh, just, ugh, I have no interest, in going, I really don't. I gotta go, and I'll be there for you, don't worry. You won't miss anything, you won't miss a thing, you'll get complete coverage, not that you really want it, not that you really want complete coverage, but you'll get it. And we'll see what hijinks ensue. Obviously, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden just spoke a short time ago. Biden went out there yelling about how Trump is Donald Dump, and lying about lowering insulin prices, which is something that Trump did, and then Biden raised them again just to lower them, to try to take credit for it. I kid you not, but that actually really happened. That really, truly, 100% happened. And it's just unbelievable that they get away with this, but the media doesn't fact check them. So, you know, there you're going to go. I saw Tulsi Gabbard on Fox News today. She will be on the show hopefully next week to give her thoughts as a former Democrat during the Democrat National Convention. I got to tell you, man, she was great, you know, ripping Kamala Harris for her flip-flops and all the flip-flops. And her handlers are nervous because she's an empty suit, is one of the things that Tulsi Gabbard said. As we begin our first hour here today, our big story brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Oh, programming note, a couple programming notes for you. Number one, we are done today at 6 p.m. because of the Phillies game. The Eagles have preseason football, which is going to be heard on 94 The Whip, which means that we will be carrying the Phillies old school style. I'm getting bummed for the Phillies. Kind of feels good. To be honest with you, it's a little nostalgic for me. I'm not complaining. It's a beautiful night, and my son's got football practice, so I'm going to go cheer him on tonight and take the girls out for ice cream. So don't cry for me, Argentina. It's going to be just fine. But it is a little old school. You know, if you've been with me since day one, if you've been part of the Cioli Army since the beginning, you know that this used to happen all the time. If it wasn't the Phillies, it was women's highlight, or it was competitive jello wrestling, whatever else it was. So it's a little bit of a throwback. But nevertheless, we're done at 6. I'm off tomorrow, and I'm on Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Fallon. Saturday night on Fox News with Jimmy Fallon. 10 p.m. live. 10 p.m. live, okay? That pre-taped live. So make sure you tune in for that Saturday night, all right? Very good. Here's Joe Biden insulting Donald Trump. And let me just say before we play it, I'm so glad we've been able to tone down the rhetoric, dampen the rhetoric. I'm so glad. You know, the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, was out there saying that Republicans need to be killed or put down or whatever she was saying the other day to the Washington Post. Just the other day, Joe Biden was calling him a threat to democracy, a fascist, talking about the KKK were taking off their hoods and coming out of the woods. And I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But here's another insult from the president of the United States of America. So for everybody who says our children are watching and we shouldn't use mean names, take a listen.
They want to, the guy we're running against, what's his name? Donald Dump or Donald whatever. They want to get rid of this, what we passed. They're fighting to get rid of what we've just passed. No,
Donald Dump or whatever his name is, Donald Dump? Are we streaming live on YouTube right now, Matt DeSantis? Is that an actual thing? Did that happen?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if we are, we'll let you know. We're trying. We're working out a little kinks. I'm remote today. We'll be remote all next week. So, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. But no problem. You can't see then that I have a, I've got a thing on my thumb. I've got a compression thing on my thumb because I injured my thumb because I'm basically fragile. I'm basically plastic. Actually, plastic is more durable than I am. Who am I kidding? But if we do manage to get on YouTube at some point today, you'll see that I'm wearing a compression thing on my thumb. I injured myself in another boating accident, this time on Sunday in the Delaware River with my friends Nikki and Alan on their boat. So I'll be okay. I'll survive. Don't worry. But you'll be able to see it. If there's an injury, I'll find it. It'll find me. No question about it. I also want to mention, I want to say hi I want to give a shout out to Chuck. Chuck is a DHL driver. He dropped off a package at my house last night, and he was kind enough to introduce himself, say he's a longtime listener of the show, a father of two adopted children. Had a nice chat with Chuck, and I just wanted to say thank you to him for being part of the show. I always appreciate when people come up and say hello and introduce themselves and tell me they listen, and he said that I was very, very blessed with a talent and a gift from God, which, of course, as the great Rush Limbaugh would say, is only on loan. But nevertheless, thank you to Chuck for listening. He said a lot of the other DHL drivers listen. I know the guys who commute, work, drive trucks, people in their cars, guys and gals, we appreciate it. We're here for you every step of the way until the government kills AM radio. But don't worry, you can always stream us on the Odyssey app. You can download it for free and listen anytime you like. Let's get right into Kamala Harris's flip-flops, shall we? First of all, there is a cover-up going on by the corporate media to protect Kamala Harris from all of her decades of flip-flops. Well, years of flip-flops. I shouldn't say decades, but decades of record and then years of flip-flops. Maybe it's just months of flip-flops. I mean, really, it probably is months. Let me rephrase that. It was decades of policies like saying she wanted to shut down detention centers on day one, ban fracking on day one. She cast a tie-breaking vote for the Inflation Reduction Act, which, of course, was a draconian act that did not reduce inflation and did lead us to trillions more dollars in spending. She voted to go after people that make money on tips when she authorized 87,000 new IRS agents and voted for that as Vice President of the United States, casting the tie-breaking vote on that. Here's Kamala Harris. Before I play Tulsi Gabbard, actually, a little flashback for you. I don't know how she's going to walk this back. I really don't. As we think about illegal immigration as being one of the biggest crises facing our country right now, and it consistently polls as being either the top or second most important issue on people's minds but behind the economy, I don't know how she's going to walk this one back, but she was running for president. She was trying to go far left. And either she is someone who really believes this, or she was just saying whatever she had to say to get elected. So then the question you need to ask yourself now, if you're thinking about voting for Kamala Harris, is she lying now just to say whatever it is to get elected? Or does she really believe this stuff now? What's changed? Like when she said she wanted to ban fracking and now she's walking it back. So what changed? Was she lying then or is she lying now? She say that just then to get elected, or she's saying it now to get elected? Either way, the woman is a chameleon, and you should not trust her. Cut 17.
Hi, my name is Sally Hartman. I'm a volunteer with the Center for Worker Justice.
Okay.
I want to know, when you become president, would you be committing to close the immigration detention centers?
Absolutely, on day one.
Day one, she's going to be closing them. She goes on to say, and I don't know if you have it all in that clip or not, Matt, but she goes on to say that we need to also tear down ICE, build it from the ground up, start over basically with ICE. And she doesn't believe that anyone should be charged with a crime of entering the country illegally. That's what she said. Nobody who enters a country illegally should be charged with a crime of illegal entry. She said all those things. Those are all things that Kamala Harris said. And now they're going to try to walk all that back. I mean, she threw in a line about, oh, we got to have a tough border. But she didn't mean it then. We got to get rid of ICE. And nobody should be charged as a criminal for entering the country illegally. That's what she said. Those are her lines. And she would shut down immigration detention centers on day one. So as you think about illegal immigration being such a central issue in this election, think about that for a moment. So here's Tulsi Gabbard talking about it, the fact that the media is covering up for her flip-flops. She was on Fox News this morning with Bill Hemmer. Cut number six.
She was running for president in 2019, September 10th. Here's another issue that you're talking about here, Axios. When she was running for president in 2019, she was for decriminalizing illegal border crossings. No more. She has backed off. And that's just one of the issues now, okay? And here is Harris in her own words on border policies.
I'm not in favor of decriminalizing or not having consequence for. We have to keep. Let me just be very clear. We have to have a secure border. But I am in favor of saying that we're not going to treat people who are undocumented and cross the border as criminal.
We've got to critically reexamine ICE and its role and the way that it is being administered and the work it is doing. And we need to probably think about starting from scratch.
I want to know, when you become president, would you be committing to close the immigration detention centers?
Absolutely, on day one. On day one.
You need to do a 180 on all of this now, Tulsi. And the only way you can effectively do it is if you have the media in your back pocket.
Which she does. She has the mainstream propaganda media helping her, collaborating with her. Frankly, they should be reported for these in-kind contributions they are making to her campaign, because they are doing her work for her. They're trying to claim that she was not the border czar after all, even though there are many, many clips of them saying, well, she was in fact the border czar. I think, you know, so many of those clips, she may try to say, oh, well, that was back then. That was back in 2019. The problem that she has to reckon with is the fact that her actions, her positions, and lack of action and failures, for that matter, as vice president, match very directly with what she was saying in 2019. She really does believe in open borders. They really do believe in allowing millions of illegal immigrants to come across our borders, flood our communities. They really do believe in making sure that they have over 10 million new future voters. So again, actions will speak louder than words. Kamala Harris is fake. She's a consummate politician. We've got to pay attention to her record as vice president.
No question about it. And Tulsi's 100% right. Spot on right about that. We got to pay attention to that. And she's a chameleon. She's a politician. She's a chameleon. She's full of it. And good. You know, I mean, get out there and speak out about this, because it's ridiculous that we're going to let her just try to undo everything she's ever done. Oh, you know, I got to share with you, too, as the show goes on today. We are talking about now 36 days until early voting begins. 36 days. And the press is completely letting her off the hook. Think about this now. 36 days from now, we're going to start early voting. Because we don't have election day in this country. We have election season. And we also have, of course, well, we have the days where the dead vote. Right around Halloween, obviously. It's usually Mischief Night or Halloween itself, when the dead rise and vote in places like Philadelphia, Camden, New Jersey, and other places like that. Hudson County, New Jersey. But we have an election season. And early voting is happening in 36 days. And we have not had one sit-down interview with the presumptive... No, actually, she's the official. What am I saying? The Democrat nominee for President of the United States of America. Not one. So they hold this event today. She and Biden get up there, and it's all scripted, teleprompter. Everything is, again, packaged. I told you, this is what the strategy is. Look, if you like the show... And if you don't, I don't really care. No, I'm just kidding. If you like the show, I appreciate that very much. I would hope that one of the things you like about it is the fact that I try to peel back the layers to look at the strategy that's being employed here. And the strategy that they are using is, we're going to treat this like a movie. We're going to treat this like a movie's not a good term, actually. A limited series. That's probably the better term. A limited series like on Netflix or Apple TV or something like that. And we're going to have the episodes. The show has a very limited window. It runs from now until, oh, I don't know, 40 days or so. And in that time period, we're going to produce this. We're going to make it look great. But we are going to avoid any impromptu situations. So we're only going to deal with the scripted show. This is not going to be a reality show. This season that we're watching right now of Veep, which appears to be a reality show to us, is actually incredibly scripted. It's a fully scripted, short-run, limited series that is on your television right now, and mine, and all over social media. And as part of that, they don't want to have any sit-down interviews with the actors. They don't want to have any sit-down interviews with the actors where the actors could go off script and say something that could come back to hurt the production. That's the reality. That's what we're dealing with right now. And that's why Kamala Harris won't sit down and do any interviews. Because she can't. She can only read teleprompters. It's like Joe Biden, but worse. Because Biden would go off script all the time, and they could cover for him. They don't have time to cover for her. They don't have time to cover for her if she makes one of her tremendous gaffes or just stares into the camera or something like this. They just don't have the time. And so what they have to do now is just keep hiding her from everybody and hoping that you'll watch the commercials, you'll watch the beautiful Hollywood production, and you'll go out and vote. But her own campaign is engaged in this. You know, her own campaign has been caught now pushing literal fake news headlines into America's Google searches. This should be the biggest story that the corporate media is focusing on. But of course, they're not going to focus on it because it makes her look bad. But let's understand what's happening here. Daily Caller, our buddy Reagan Reese, White House correspondent. Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign has been caught editing various outlets' headlines to appear in Americans' Google searches as sponsored ads, according to a report from Axios. Over the last 10 days, the Harris campaign has edited the headlines and descriptions of almost a dozen outlets' articles found through Google search advertisements to appear as search ads from the Harris campaign, according to Axios. Several of those outlets, including CNN, USA Today, and NPR, told the outlet they were not aware that their articles were being manipulated for Harris campaign ads. Quote, while we understand why an organization might wish to align itself with the Guardian's trusted brand, we need to ensure it is being used appropriately and with our permission. We'll be reaching out to Google for more information about this practice. Other outlets used in the ads include The Independent UK, AP, PBS, CBS News, Time, and WDAY Radio, a local North Dakota radio station. Some of these outlets are going to consider taking legal action. So here's an example of how this works, okay? One example of how they link to NPR articles, but then edited to have the headline read, Harris will lower healthcare costs. So they link to an NPR article. Now, the thing about it is that NPR would probably just write this stuff anyway. But what they do is they tweak it just a little bit to make it seem like an actual news story. And then the ad, which it is, but then they make tweaks. The ad then has the description, quote, Kamala Harris will lower the cost of high-quality, affordable health care. Though the ads are sponsored by the campaign and indicate as such, Axios noted that it is not at first clear that the text prompting the article is written by Harris's team. The Harris campaign's latest gimmick does not violate Google's policies, according to Axios, and the search engine believes its sponsored tag provides enough context for a viewer. What they're doing is they're trying to use ads attached to various news stories as a way to give voters more context, is what they're saying. But, you know, it's one thing to link to a story. Now, it's one thing to link to a story and say, okay, this is a story. But it's another thing to manipulate that and not tell everybody you're manipulating it. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're manipulating this to make it seem like the story is just as written, or the article is just as written, or the radio advertisement is just as, and it's not the case. So they are playing a game. They are manipulating people. They're gaslighting people again. So if you didn't know any better, you look at this, you go, wow, this is a glowing puff piece from the corporate media. Now, that's the only part of this story that I think is kind of a nothing burger, in the sense that the corporate media is already writing incredibly flattering stories about Kamala Harris. They don't really need to tweak them all that much. No, if you think about it, they really don't have to tweak them all that much. Hey, a little bit here, a little bit there. But for the most part, it's more about the impression that they're paying to push these things out there. And when the search results, it appears as if these things are just organically showing up. So you might think to yourself, you might be sitting there and you're seeing all these articles about Kamala Harris coming up and they're all glowing. And you might think to yourself, wow, look at all this gushing press she's getting. But it's actually the campaign pushing that to you. But at the same time, I'm really not losing sleep over this because the corporate media is doing that anyway. So really, in one sense, it's kind of a situation of Ophelia doth protest too much. You know, these media outlets are like, whoa, hey, you can't push out flattering stories about you by us. Only we can do that. They can't do that to our pledges. Yeah, only we can do that to our pledges. It's kind of like that, you know. They're just annoyed. They're pretending to be annoyed, but they're really not. Because they're getting eyes on their stories. The Harris campaign's helping to push it. I think they're all in on it. But to try to preserve their journalistic integrity, like they have any, right? To try to preserve their journalistic integrity, they're going, hey, you can't do that. You can't take this puff piece we wrote about you in NPR and put it out there like it's an NPR article without telling people you're pushing it out there, even though it's a puff piece from NPR. But you got to make sure people understand you're pushing it out there. I mean, the corporate media and the campaign are so in bed together that it's not that hard for them. And then they do the gratuitous, hey, you can't do that. And then they just keep writing puff pieces about her. I mean, find me the critical news stories about where's Kamala Harris and the campaign. Where are the sit-down interviews? You can't find it. You'll find journalists like Jim Acosta speaking from journalists in internment camp making kind of a little bit of, you know, little snarky comments here and there, like, well, you know, at some point, I mean, wouldn't it be nice if somebody comes out and says something? You know, wouldn't that be nice if at some point somebody says something from the campaign? But at the same time, they're only saying that because they feel like they have to. That's it. They feel as if they have to. And if they don't say something, they feel like their colleagues will call them out on it. But they're more than happy to help her hide. Oh, they're more than happy to help her hide. They're more than happy because they're in on the production. This Hollywood level show, this season of Veep, which is carefully scripted, the corporate media is playing a tremendous role in this. I mean, they are the supporting cast in a big, big way. They're also the director, the producer, and the co-stars. And the fact that they are just completely letting her off the hook. Here's another point Tulsi Gabbard made. Tulsi Gabbard's campaign handlers are nervous for her to do an interview because she's an empty suit. And they know that she's an empty suit. Cut number five.
So that was quite the moment, July of 2019. You gave an interview to the AP saying all you had to do was Google that information.
Yeah.
And that you were surprised that her comeback was not more effective. What do you mean by that?
Well, she really didn't have a comeback. I think she revealed in that debate the same thing that I think her campaign handlers are worried about right now is, you know, Kamala Harris is an empty suit. They are trying to create this new version of Kamala Harris to match what their pollsters are telling them so she can say whatever she needs to say to try to win over voters, which is the most offensive thing, I think, because they think we're so stupid as to forget what her record actually is. And so, you know, in 2019, very simply, I confronted her with her hypocrisy, how what she said was very different than what she actually did. And she had no answer for it. She had no explanation. She didn't even try to own or justify what her actions were. And that's going to be the key thing here for voters as we head into this election is, you know, Kamala Harris will say whatever she thinks she needs to say. We have to pay attention to her actions because on every single major issue, you will see that same kind of hypocrisy that I pointed out in 2019, where she'll say one thing, but her record tells a very, very different story.
A very, very different story. Now, tomorrow she's going to give her economic speech. You want a preview of it? Here's the preview. All right, here's the preview, because I retweeted this earlier from America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren. So if you're wondering what tomorrow Kamala Harris is going to say regarding the economy, it's this. Ready? Here we go. Quote from America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren. Those high prices you're seeing at the grocery store, they're not just inflation. A handful of big corporations control the food industry, and they're keeping prices high because they know they can. Democrats are calling them out and forcing them to bring down costs. I mean, come on! A handful of evil, greedy grocery store conglomerates. And no one has the thought, hey, you know, if I break from these people, and I sell grocery prices a whole lot lower, everybody will come to my store and buy my stuff. None of them, not one person's that smart. I would be, if it were me, I would do that. If I had Richie's Grocers and I had the best cold cuts, just ask Mama Zioli, the best cold cuts. I would just charge, if it's all BS, if it's all inflated because I was on the secret evil grocery store cabal call, and during the secret evil grocery store cabal call, they all said, here's the deal. We're all going to raise prices by 20% on everything across the board. And we're going to pocket all that money. And this has nothing to do with inflation, but we're going to blame inflation. We're all going to get rich. And I'm on mute. And I'm thinking, you guys are my competitors. So in capitalism, I want to compete. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn around and I'm actually going to undercut you idiots, so that I can then make more money than the rest of you idiots. And why is no one doing that? And this is the reason, because America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, much like every other liberal kook out there, doesn't understand how the economy works, doesn't understand that's exactly what somebody would do. Literally exactly what somebody would do. They would turn around and they would say, all right, I am undercutting my competitors. And then they would hang up. They would hang up the phone or stay on the phone. And I would have a gigantic banner above my store that says, I'll give you a good example of this. You know who's very good at his commercials is Ryan Reynolds, who plays Deadpool. I think he's a very funny actor. Ryan Reynolds does that Mint Mobile is his cell phone company. The guy's a billionaire. I mean, he's got all these different companies. He's got Aviation Gin, and I think his cell phone company might have just been bought by T-Mobile. But his whole thing is he comes out and he says, unlike the big phone companies, we don't hate you, so we're charging you less. I mean, they're actually really brilliant ads. But it's also brilliant because it's capitalism and that's how that works. So you're telling me there's not one grocery store person out there who would not follow in the footsteps of Ryan Reynolds and turn around and say, unlike the other grocery store chains, we don't hate you. And since they're just choosing to raise their prices and blame inflation, everything in our store is 20% less. So yeah, our eggs are only $4 a dozen. Our meats, you can buy a beautiful steak for $8. Because we don't hate you. Here at Richie's Grocers. Our mortadella, with the pistachio, the best. It's only $4.99 a pound. Unlike the competitors on the... And I would even have a banner. I'd have a banner go up in my grocery store. Say, we're slashing evil cabal prices today. And I'd have figures made up of the evil cabal grocery store heads. And I would let people punch them on the way out of the store. I mean, come on! All right, 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Listen, here's the deal. Relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. You hear me say that a lot. It's a guiding principle in how Judith and her team run their business. They build great relationships by providing a luxury Volvo buying experience, always doing what is right, and making sure you drive away completely satisfied with the best deal available. And the result? So many of their customers, like me, become customers for life. Cherry Hill Volvo has customers who have been with them for as long as 30 years. That's an incredible testament to the high level of service and value they provide. It's possible to get the absolute best deal on a new Volvo while enjoying fantastic experience at Cherry Hill Volvo. For example, they're offering a $15,000 discount on the lease of any in-stock 2024 XC90 hybrid. Or qualified buyers can lease the incredible C40 for 36 months for less than $500 a month. And we drive the XC90. We love it. It's a beautiful family car, safe, and you'll love the experience at Cherry Hill Volvo. They also have pre-owned Volvos for sale as well. So you get a like-new Volvo with an incredible warranty on it, but at a really amazing, amazing price. Either way, at Cherry Hill Volvo, they will take great care of you, and I would love for you to go see them at Cherry Hill Volvo. Minutes over the bridge on Route 70, where relationships matter.
The Zeoli Show, on your schedule, from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Tend to do. I just get rolling, you know? I get rolling, baby! And I can't stop. And then I look up and I blew through my break and we have a short show. Yeah. So of all the days to do it, I blew through the break and we were off the air by 6. We got a ton of spots.
We have 4 hours worth of commercials to cram into 3 hours and you did a 30-minute opening segment.
I did a 30-minute opening monologue. I literally had no idea what I was going to talk about when I got on the air. That I couldn't shut up on time to get out in time for my break. This happens sometimes. I thought 30 minutes of nonstop talk wasn't until 5, Matt DeSantis, but apparently we did it at 3 today.
The listeners got a bonus nonstop talk today.
You got bonus 30 minutes of nonstop talk. So that's you're going to get a full hour today of nonstop talk, allegedly. Somehow we're going to fit that in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break because we have a guest joining us. We're going to keep talking about the economy. It's the number one thing. And Alfredo Ortiz, president and CEO of the Job Creators Network, is going to join me because he's got a great piece out in the Daily Caller. Kamala Harris is a threat to entry level jobs. I also want to make you aware of something that the Federal Trade Commission did. Once again, over exceeding their authority, they have voted unanimously to ban marketers from using fake reviews, such as those generated with AI technology and other misleading advertising practices. The ban also forbids marketers from exaggerating their own influence by, for example, paying for bots to inflate their follower count. I'll get into that with you, but I look at this as, once again, the executive branch overwhelmingly exceeding its authority. They may have the best of intentions, and it should happen, but I've got free speech concerns with this, and I also have just the unilateral executive concerns. Let me tell you, though, you know, we all love summer, and I love the fact that we're going to be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, coming up on Friday, September 6th. So make sure you join us for that. Remember, excuse me, the beach isn't just for the summer. In fact, Cape May is beautiful in September. So if you haven't been to Cape May in the fall, you are missing out. So book your stay at the Grand Hotel of Cape May for a September to remember. The Grand offers special midweek packages so you can enjoy the beach without breaking the bank. Stay two nights, save 10%. Stay three nights, get 10% off, and $55 a night in resort credits. Stay five nights, get 10% off, and $65 a night in resort credits that can be used at Hemingway's for food and drink or at the gift shop. The Grand offers guest rooms, suites, and townhomes equipped with kitchenettes, and they have two huge heated pools, one outdoor, one indoor. I'm telling you, the Grand's my happy place. Mark your calendar for our live show on September 6th. You will not be disappointed. Book directly with them for the best rates. Book your stay by calling 800-257-8550, 800-257-8550, or visit them online at grandhotelcapemay.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
So glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. He is the best with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, VeneriaDental.com. You know, the left hates women. We know that. They hate hot women. They really hate hot women a lot. And the other thing, too, about this is that they hate one particular hot woman named Anna Paulina Luna, who had the audacity to show off her gorgeous body in a bikini on the beach. And let me just tell you something. You know, I love the fact a female beauty is an amazing creation. It's an amazing God-given creation. And the fact that when you think about some of the pink hat wearers out there, I said pink hat and say anything else, some of them, not exactly the best looking on the eyes, all right? Anna Paulina Luna is a beautiful, beautiful woman who's not afraid to go out there and show off her God-given assets. On the beach. On the beach. She's on the beach. Well, the left is losing their freaking minds over this. They are losing their minds over this. How dare she do this? And so she's pushing back on it. I think it's great that she's pushing back. I really do. I love it that she's pushing back. And she's saying to lefties, you know, hey, no kidding. Listen, here's the deal. Yeah, I wear a bikini on the beach. Mm-hmm. I wear a bikini on the beach. Look at me. And they can't stand. They can't sit. So now there's this whole controversy about this. Like, oh my gosh. Should she be able to wear, should a congresswoman, should a member of Congress actually wear a bikini on the beach? You know what it is, the fact that she's a woman. And she tweets back at them and says, in case any of you who are decrying this, just so you know, I am in fact a woman, a biological woman. They are real and they are spectacular. It's funny, right? The party that pretends to be the party of women, deep down inside, hates them. It really does. Hates them. So she tweeted out the following. And they also hate that Anna Paulina Luna is a solid supporter of President Donald Trump. She tweets out the following. I have a confession to make since the TikTok Democrats are onto me. I wear bikinis to the beach and mineral sunscreen. The freshman lawmaker is the first Mexican-American woman. That's the other thing that they hate. She's a Mexican-American woman, and she's MAGA. They hate that, too, because, again, it also just destroys the narrative. So she's out there in an American bikini, American flag bikini, or an American flag onesie bathing suit, The freshman lawmaker is the first Mexican-American woman elected to Congress to represent Florida, serving constituents in the Sunshine State's 13th Congressional District. She served in the United States Air Force. And her husband... Oh, we got our guest here? Okay, great. I'll come back to this story. Don't worry, because it's a good one and it's worth waiting for. But let me welcome to the program Alfredo Ortiz. Alfredo Ortiz is the president and CEO of Job Creators Network. His piece of the Daily Caller, Kamala Harris is a threat to entry-level jobs. Alfredo, thanks for joining me in Philadelphia. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, good. I'm grateful I don't have an entry-level job anymore, because after reading your piece, I'm very worried for the people that do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the policies overall of the, you know, Biden-Harris administration, I mean, they've done nothing but really harm, you know, entry-level jobs. And quite frankly, you know, the hardworking, everyday working American out there, you know, inflation is killing them. Wages aren't keeping up with that inflation. I mean, bottom line, people are working a lot harder. They're paying a lot more and they're getting a lot less.
Now, explain what an entry-level job is for people that don't really understand the concept of this, because there's a lot of questions around, you know, when the left is out there screaming about living wages and all the other things, a lot of the people who start at entry-level jobs wind up getting replaced by artificial intelligence because the businesses can't afford to pay them.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. I mean, one of the things that we've been seeing this trend a long time now for the past several years, but now it's really been accelerated under this administration, the Biden administration, because, you know, every time you start talking about living wages and you have $20, you know, minimum per hour wages out in California, I mean, small business owners primarily, which employ a lot of these entry-level jobs, I mean, these are kids coming out of high school or even in high school, right? These small business owners can't afford that. And they can only take the prices up so high before consumers start walking away from them. And so they end up having a choice, right? Do we just close our doors? Or do we just start finding different ways of filling that labor? And a lot of times it's either technology or labor force. I mean, you know, I also live in, you know, in the Arlington area in Virginia, and my local McDonald's down in my building, they've completely replaced all the cashiers with kiosks. And so they just have two people that are basically handing out the order. And outside of that, right, all the cashiers are gone. And so, you know, those people are going to be in trend more and more and more as this inflation crisis continues, because small business owners in particular have no other choice.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it, because I look at, well, first of all, when I go to the grocery store, I try to talk to a human being. I try as best I can to actually use the checkout lines as much as possible, because these are people, and I try to engage them and say hello and that sort of thing. But in many, you watch the trends, and it's getting more and more self-checkout, more kiosks,
yeah,
not less, right? And then you watch as you see the advertisements on TV, say, for McDonald's and their $5 value meal, and there's always a disclaimer, price is higher in California. So why are prices higher in California, out of curiosity?
Well, look, they just passed that $20 minimum wage, you know, for fast food workers, which, I mean, $20 minimum wage is just crazy. I mean, that's a $40,000 per year job, just entry level. I mean, you know, you can say you're 16 years old and you're getting a $40,000 per year job. I mean, heck, that's pretty damn good. Excuse my language, but I mean, small business owners, again, in particular, who a lot of these franchisees, right, who own these small businesses, they just can't afford it, right? And a lot of people sometimes say, oh, yeah, but there's McDonald's and Domino's. What people have to understand is there's actually a person who actually owns that. That's not the corporation. It's not, you know, McDonald's Corporation. Somebody has basically franchised that name, basically borrowed the name or paying the royalties for that name so that they can run a business with that name on it. But they have to pay that labor. And again, there's only certain prices that they can take up, and a lot of times they are regulated, right, by the franchisor, McDonald's, so they can only take the prices up so high. In this particular case that you just said, $5 value meal, except for maybe in California, because they have to allow the California franchisees to charge more, because otherwise they'd be losing money. In fact, I think they actually are losing money across the board now because of the price of the inputs on everything that they're paying, the franchisees.
You sound like a man who just doesn't care, because it sounds to me like people need to get a $20 minimum wage to live. It's a living wage. So how could you be against that, Alfredo Ortiz? How could you possibly be against that? What kind of a human being are you?
I'm a horrible human being, aren't I? No. Look, we love it when our American workers make more money. But the problem is they have to make more money, and they also we want them to get more, right? Not less. Right now, what's happening is if they are getting a wage increase, let's say 4%, right? The inflation that has happened over the past few years, which people have to remember, it compounds on itself. Right now, you hear the White House celebrating that, yesterday the inflation rate has gone down below 3%. Well, that's the rate of increase, right? We're still building upon years of increases. So, for example, it's like, you haven't seen me for 2 years, and I walk in to your house, and I'm 50 pounds heavier, and you're like, wow, dude, you kind of packed on a few, right? And I go, yeah, but the good news is now I'm only gaining 2 pounds a month. I mean, the damage has been done. I'm still a fat, guy, And so that's the problem with our economy. We're still inflated. These prices are still record high, and consumers can't afford it anymore. We're at $1.3 trillion of credit card debt, record high credit card debt. We're at 4% savings rate, the lowest savings rates in years from consumers. People are tapping into their 401ks, right? I mean, they can no longer afford day to day. So it's not about a living wage, right? It's that we have to get the cost of this country under control. And that really, frankly, comes down to getting our energy costs under control, which this administration, the Biden administration, basically screwed up the first day of his administration by hitting on the Keystone XL pipeline. It didn't seem like a major, major, issue. It really turned into a major, major issue, right? Because everything that we do has, in some way, shape, or form, to input energy, right? And so when energy prices skyrocketed, right, everything started going kaput. And quite frankly, even just on a global basis, a lot of these wars and stuff like that, I actually attribute it to to that decision, because he destabilized our energy markets across the globe. And so a lot of this is really coming down to, if I were president for one day, right, the first thing I would do, in the words of Newt Gingrich, is drill, baby, drill. Right, we got to get domestic energy production back to the same levels that we were under the Trump administration.
And you also point out, too, at jobcreatorsnetwork.com, you guys point out over there that her policies on health care would also be disastrous to jobs as well. But let's talk about regulations for a quick second, because one of the things I loved about the conversation with Elon Musk and Donald Trump the other night was the focus on getting rid of regulations and how much regulations contribute to not only businesses shutting down, but businesses being delayed from opening, which then, of course, also hurts entry-level jobs, because businesses can't hire right. people if they're not open.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, regulations are really the killer of innovation in an economy, right? And so, and I'm not to say that we shouldn't have any regulations, right? We have to have regulations for safety and stuff like that. But it's the idea of over-regulation, right? I mean, right now you hear a lot of the EPA, for example, they want to control our air conditioners, our refrigerators, our washers and dryers, our dishwashers. You know, in New York, for example, now they're telling the brick oven, wood-fired brick oven pizza guys that they have to start using gas ovens. I mean, excuse me, electric ovens. I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, you want to go to a New York pizzeria where they're using an electric oven? I mean, that's just like crazy. I mean, it's just the level of overregulation just costs people a tremendous amount of money. And look, there's one great example, which we all experienced. It was called Dodd-Frank, right? When the whole bank meltdown happened, almost 2,000 plus small business banks, right? Community banks went out of business because the regulation that was put in place, with good intentions, maybe, right? With good intentions to help, safeguard our banking system. But it was so much regulation that it really choked off 2,000 plus community banks, which really service our small businesses, right? And so large companies actually, in general, they don't mind regulation and a lot of it because they can actually afford it. And it kind of chokes out innovation. It chokes out the little guy, right? So we have to be really careful about this idea of overregulating our economy.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. And the environmental regulations. And there's another thing, too, which is that they wind up suing and trying to stop environmental progress, or I should say energy companies, energy progress. They sue business developers all the time. I know that that's an initiative that you guys are also behind, trying to stop that. Because the goal for them when they do this is to just run the clock out until eventually the builder, the developer, the business just runs out of cash, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, the problem, again, going back to the energy, the energy markets here domestically, is that lenders, for example, they don't want to really lend to that industry as well, right? a lot of people are just saying, hey, you know what? Federal government is kind of basically saying, we don't want this industry to exist anymore. So a lot of people are just pulling back. A lot of lending is pulling back. And so our energy domestic, you know, producers are really having a tough time. And so, you know, fracking, for example, I'm sorry. I know I saw the actual interviews and I saw the debates where Kamala Harris said, I'm against fracking. It was pretty darn clear. Now what? Now she's supposedly for fracking? I mean, come on. I mean, you're in Philadelphia. You guys are in Pennsylvania. You know how important in Pennsylvania fracking has been for the state. And the reality is she's going to keep saying that she's, you know, for it, but we know that she's not, right? Because bottom line, as a party platform, right? Democrats, which she has to embrace that Democrat platform, right? They don't believe in that. And so why is she all of a sudden just going to, you know, challenge her party and the entire platform and say, no, I know what you guys are saying, but I think fracking is actually good.
It's such an absolute flip-flop. Alfredo Ortiz, President and CEO, Job Creators Network. Follow him on X at Job Creators USA. Great work. Keep up the good fight. We appreciate what you're doing for a free market economy. Thank you, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back. 4 o'clock hour coming up. Hey, guess what? Zelensky ordered the Nord Stream pipeline to be blown up. We've always known that. Wall Street Journal confirms it. Wow. Don't go away.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app. Thanks for listening to the Cioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the Odyssey app.
So glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. Big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. He is the best with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, VeneriaDental.com. You know, the left hates women. We know that. And they hate hot women. They really hate hot women a lot. And the other thing, too, about this is that they hate one particular hot woman named Anna Paulina Luna, who had the audacity to show off her gorgeous body in a bikini on the beach. And let me just tell you something. You know, I love the fact a female beauty is an amazing creation. It's an amazing God-given creation. And the fact that when you think about some of the pink hat wearers out there, I said pink hat and say anything else, some of them, not exactly the best looking on the eyes, all right? Anna Paulina Luna is a beautiful, beautiful woman who's not afraid to go out there and show off her God-given assets on the beach. On the beach. She's on the beach. Well, the left is losing their freaking minds over this. They are losing their minds over this. How dare she do this? And so she's pushing back on it. I think it's great that she's pushing back. I really do. I love it that she's pushing back. And she's saying to lefties, you know, hey, no kidding. Listen, here's the deal. Yeah, I wear a bikini on the beach. Mm-hmm. I wear a bikini on the beach. Look at me. And they can't stand. They can't sit. So now there's this whole controversy about this. Like, oh my gosh. Should she be able to wear, should a congresswoman, should a member of Congress actually wear a bikini on the beach? You know what it is, the fact that she's a woman. And she tweets back at them and says, in case any of you who are decrying this, just so you know, I am in fact a woman, a biological woman. They are real and they are spectacular. It's funny, right? The party that pretends to be the party of women, deep down inside, hates them. It really does. Hates them. So she tweeted out the following. And they also hate that Anna Paulina Luna is a solid supporter of President Donald Trump. She tweets out the following. I have a confession to make since the TikTok Democrats are onto me. I wear bikinis to the beach and mineral sunscreen. The freshman lawmaker is the first Mexican-American woman. That's the other thing that they hate. She's a Mexican-American woman, and she's MAGA. They hate that, too, because, again, it also just destroys the narrative. So she's out there in an American bikini, American flag bikini, or an American flag onesie bathing suit. The freshman lawmaker is the first Mexican-American woman elected to Congress to represent Florida, serving constituents in the Sunshine State's 13th Congressional District. She served in the United States Air Force. And her husband... Oh, we got our guest here? Okay, great. I'll come back to this story. Don't worry, because it's a good one and it's worth waiting for. But let me welcome to the program Alfredo Ortiz. Alfredo Ortiz is the president and CEO of Job Creators Network. His piece of the Daily Caller, Kamala Harris is a threat to entry-level jobs. Alfredo, thanks for joining me in Philadelphia. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, good. I'm grateful I don't have an entry-level job anymore, because after reading your piece, I'm very worried for the people that do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the policies overall of the, you know, Biden-Harris administration, I mean, they've done nothing but really harm, you know, entry-level jobs. And quite frankly, you know, the hardworking, everyday working American out there, you know, inflation is killing them. Wages aren't keeping up with that inflation. I mean, bottom line, people are working a lot harder. They're paying a lot more and they're getting a lot less.
Now explain what an entry-level job is for people that don't really understand the concept of this, because there's a lot of questions around, you know, when the left is out there screaming about living wages and all the other things, a lot of the people who start at entry-level jobs wind up getting replaced by artificial intelligence because the businesses can't afford to pay them.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. I mean, one of the things that we've been seeing this trend a long time now for the past several years, but now it's really been accelerated under this administration, the Biden administration, because, you know, every time you start talking about living wages and you have $20, you know, minimum per hour wages out in California, I mean, small business owners primarily, which employ a lot of these entry-level jobs, I mean, these are kids coming out of high school or even in high school, right? These small business owners can't afford that. And they can only take the prices up so high before consumers start walking away from them. And so they end up having a choice, right? Do we just close our doors? Or do we just start finding different ways of filling that labor? And a lot of times it's either technology or labor force. I mean, you know, I also live in, you know, in the Arlington area in Virginia, and my local McDonald's down in my building, they've completely replaced all the cashiers with kiosks. And so they just have two people that are basically handing out the order. And outside of that, right, all the cashiers are gone. And so, you know, those people are going to be the threat more and more and more as this inflation crisis continues, because small business owners in particular have no other choice.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it, because I look at, when I go to the grocery store, I try to talk to a human being. I try as best I can to actually use the checkout lines as much as possible, because these are people, and I try to engage them and say hello and that sort of thing. But in many, you watch the trends, and it's getting more and more self-checkout, more kiosks,
yes,
not less, right? And right, then you watch as you see the advertisements on TV, say, for McDonald's and their $5 value meal, and there's always a disclaimer, price is higher in California. So why are prices higher in California, out of curiosity?
Well, look, they just passed that $20 minimum wage, you know, for fast food workers, which, I mean, $20 minimum wage is just crazy. I mean, that's a $40,000 per year job, just entry level. I mean, you can say you're 16 years old and you're getting a $40,000 per year job. I mean, heck, that's pretty damn good. Excuse my language, but I mean, small business owners, again, in particular, who a lot of these franchisees, right, who own these small businesses, they just can't afford it, right? And a lot of people sometimes say, oh, yeah, but there's McDonald's and Domino's. What people have to understand is there's actually a person who actually owns that. That's not the corporation. It's not, you know, McDonald's Corporation. Somebody has basically franchised that name, basically borrowed the name or paying the royalties for that name so that they can run a business with that name on it. But they have to pay that labor. And again, there's only certain prices that they can take up, and a lot of times they are regulated, right, by the franchisor, McDonald's, so they can only take the prices up so high. In this particular case that you just said, $5 value meal, except for maybe in California, because they have to allow the California franchisees to charge more, because otherwise they'd be losing money. In fact, I think they actually are losing money across the board now because of the price of the inputs on everything that they're paying, the franchisees.
You sound like a man who just doesn't care, because it sounds to me like people need to get a $20 minimum wage to live. It's a living wage. So how could you be against that, Alfredo Ortiz? How could you possibly be against that? What kind of a human being are you?
I'm a horrible human being, aren't I? No. Look, we love it when our American workers make more money. But the problem is they have to make more money, and they also we want them to get more, right? Not less. Right now, what's happening is if they are getting a wage increase, let's say 4%, right? The inflation that has happened over the past few years, which people have to remember, it compounds on itself. Right now, you hear the White House celebrating that, yesterday the inflation rate has gone down below 3%. Well, that's the rate of increase, right? We're still building upon years of increases. So, for example, it's like, you haven't seen me for 2 years, and I walk in to your house, and I'm 50 pounds heavier, and you're like, wow, dude, you kind of put on a pack on a few, right? And I go, yeah, but the good news is now I'm only gaining 2 pounds a month. I mean, the damage has been done. I'm still a fat, guy, And so that's the problem with our economy. We're still inflated. These prices are still record high, and consumers can't afford it anymore. We're at $1.3 trillion of credit card debt, record high credit card debt. We're at 4% savings rate, the lowest savings rate in years from consumers. People are tapping into their 401ks, right? I mean, they can no longer afford day to day. So it's not about a living wage, right? It's that we have to get the cost of this country under control. And that really, frankly, comes down to getting our energy costs under control, which this administration, the Biden administration, basically screwed up the first day of his administration by hitting on the Keystone XL pipeline. It didn't seem like a major, major, issue. It really turned into a major, major issue, right? Because everything that we do has, in some way, shape, or form, to input energy, right? And so when energy prices skyrocketed, right, everything started going kaput. And quite frankly, even just on a global basis, a lot of these wars and stuff, like, I actually attribute it to the, to that decision, because he destabilized our energy markets across the globe. And so a lot of this is really coming down to, if I were president for one day, right, the first thing I would do, in the words of Newt Gingrich, is drill, baby, drill, right? We got to get domestic energy production back to the same levels that we were under the Trump administration.
And you also point out, too, at jobcreatorsnetwork.com, you guys point out over there that her policies on health care would also be disastrous to jobs as well. But let's talk about regulations for a quick second, because one of the things I loved about the conversation with Elon Musk and Donald Trump the other night was the focus on getting rid of regulations and how much regulations contribute to not only businesses shutting down, but businesses being delayed from opening, which then, of course, also hurts entry-level jobs, because businesses can't hire people if they're not open.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, regulations are really the killer of innovation in an economy, right? And so, and I'm not to say that we shouldn't have any regulations, right? We have to have regulations for safety and stuff like that. But it's the idea of over-regulation, right? I mean, right now you hear a lot of the EPA, for example, they want to control our air conditioners or refrigerators or washers and dryers or dishwashers. You know, in New York, for example, now they're telling the brick oven, wood-fired brick oven pizza guys that they have to start using gas ovens. I mean, excuse me, electric ovens. I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, you want to go to a New York pizzeria where they're using an electric oven? I mean, that's just like crazy. I mean, it's just the level of overregulation just costs people a tremendous amount of money. And look, there was one great example, which we all experienced. It was called Dodd-Frank, right? When the whole bank meltdown happened, almost 2,000 plus small business banks, right, community banks, went out of business because the regulation that was put in place, with good intentions maybe, right, with good intentions, to help, safeguard our banking system. But it was so much regulation that it really choked off 2,000 plus community banks, which really service our small businesses, right? And so large companies actually, in general, they don't mind regulation and a lot of it because they can actually afford it. And it kind of chokes out innovation. It chokes out the little guy, right? So we have to be really careful about this idea of overregulating our economy.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. And the environmental regulations. And there's another thing, too, which is that they wind up suing and trying to stop environmental progress, or I should say energy companies, energy progress. They sue business developers all the time. I know that that's an initiative that you guys are also behind, trying to stop that. Because the goal for them when they do this is to just run the clock out until eventually the builder, the developer, the business just runs out of cash, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, the problem, again, going back to the energy markets here domestically, is that, lenders, for example, they don't want to really lend to that industry as well, right? A lot of people are just saying, hey, you know what? Federal government is kind of basically saying, we don't want this industry to exist anymore. So a lot of people are just pulling back. A lot of lending is pulling back. And so our energy domestic, you know, producers are really having a tough time. And so, you know, fracking, for example, I'm sorry. I saw the actual interviews and I saw the debates where Kamala Harris said, I'm against fracking. It was pretty darn clear. Now what? Now she's supposedly for fracking? I mean, come on. I mean, you're in Philadelphia. You guys are in Pennsylvania. You know how important Pennsylvania fracking has been for the state. And the reality is she's going to keep saying that she's, you know, for it, but we know that she's not, right? Because bottom line, as a party platform, right? Democrats, which she has to embrace that Democrat platform, right? They don't believe in that. And so why is she all of a sudden just going to, you know, challenge her party and the entire platform and say, no, I know what you guys are saying, but I think fracking is actually good.
It's such an absolute flip-flop. Alfredo Ortiz, President and CEO, Job Creators Network. Follow him on X at Job Creators USA. Great work. Keep up the good fight. We appreciate what you're doing for a free market economy. Thank you, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back. 4 o'clock hour coming up. Hey, guess what? Zelensky ordered the Nord Stream pipeline to be blown up. We've always known that. Wall Street Journal confirms it. Wow. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.